Please be seated. That's Naomi. Both our readings today are familiar. We may not be able to hear the Isaiah reading without hearing comfort ye my people from Handel's Messiah in our minds. John the Baptist's cry to prepare the way of the Lord always brings to my mind, at least, that opening song from the rock opera Godspell that we heard at the beginning of worship today. The familiarity with the Advent readings and the Advent routines in church and world seem to go together. We are having our Christmas dinners, our Christmas parties, preparing for the main event with shopping, cooking. I've made my puddings and Christmas cake and now just need to find time to ice the cake. However, the familiarity can mean that the readings lose their power. They become part of the mood music of the season instead of being passages which inspire us. The Isaiah passage opens the second part of the book of Isaiah. The first part had all been about God's judgment on the nation and the threat of impending invasion and exile. The northern state, the other part of the Jewish kingdom, Israel, had already been carted off into exile by the Assyrians. Now the threat to Judah in the south was Babylon. God had a plan, but that plan included defeat and exile. As you can imagine, Isaiah was not a popular man. This part of the book, however, is written when in exile. The image is of God speaking to a heavenly council and commanding words of comfort to his exiled people. The voice crying in the wilderness commands a great highway is made for our God, with valleys and hills levelled to make a way for God to come and deliver his people. This is a theme which resonates again and again in Scripture. God will come and his glory will be revealed. The command to speak tenderly to Jerusalem was as powerful then as Jerusalem lay in ruins and has no less power now as politicians seek to lay claim to that city for one group or another, instead of letting it be a sign of peace, tolerance, and diversity. It was as if God had spoken to the Native Americans who had been driven from their land, pushed into reservations and seen as quaint leftovers from a bygone age, and promised them restoration. For no one expected the Jews to return to Israel. It was as if God had spoken to the millions of refugees living in camps on the edge of their own countries, or who have sailed, swam, and walked their way to Europe in the hope of safety, and announced that their land had been set free and they could go back and build a better future. This is the power of the passage, a call to return, a call to heal, a call to see God at work in our midst. God always desires comfort and consolation for the dispossessed, the exile, the poor, and the downtrodden. This passage, originally written for Jews in exile, brings hope to all who see God at work in our world. The passage also challenges us to be heralds of the good news that God brings comfort. These words can bring compassion and peace to us in the church. In an age of doubt about the church and its future, with declining religious observance and lower numbers, we can delight in the comfort that God brings us, as well as the challenge of being heralds of the gospel. However, having hope requires us to change our perspective. Turning to St. Mark and that opening passage of his gospel. Imagine you live in Galilee in around the year 70. There's a war on. Some radicals have revolted against the Roman overlords, and now Jerusalem is under siege. Everything you hear sounds bad. Some think that God has raised up the radicals to drive out the Romans. Others think the best thing to do is submit to Rome so there's peace and security. The Emperor Nero died last year, and since then, four men have been acclaimed as emperor, each one assassinated after the other. Now the general besieging Rome, Vespasian, is the new emperor. Everything is uncertain. Even the price of oil has gone up. Olive oil, that is. Your village is divided. One small, strange sect of Jews refuses to fight. They're followers of a local rabbi who was executed by the Romans 40 years ago for insurrection. People are a bit suspicious of them. The rabbi thinks they're heretics. The radicals think they're useless. But you're interested in the fact that their crucified rabbi is a sign of God's good news for the people. You're handed a scroll with Mark's fast-paced gospel written in it, and you read it with interest. Everything you read changes your perspective. Jesus is named as Messiah, a title straight out of those strange parts of the Old Testament with notions of a deliverer. The title Son of God is used. That's a dangerous title. It undermines the emperor's claim to be the Son of God. You expect, therefore, the gospel to be about politics and revolution. Instead, the opening words are about repenting, turning away from your sins. So your perspective is changed again. Just as Isaiah promised comfort to the exiles, Mark has John the Baptist proclaiming comfort through turning away from sin. The Jews in Mark's time weren't in exile, but they were under occupation. For Mark, God wasn't going to bring about political liberation like he did last time. Instead, God calls us to examine ourselves to see if we are righteous or not. As Mark looks at John, who looks at Jesus, he changes his perspective of himself. As we look at those who follow Jesus and at Jesus himself, we find our own self-perceptions can be changed. Maybe we're not as bad as we think we are. Maybe we're worse than we think we are. Just as John was called to prepare a way for the Lord, so are we. We're called to be heralds of God's good news. That good news has many ways of working itself out. To the lonely, it is comfort. To the downtrodden, freedom and dignity. To the bereaved, blessing. To all of us, hope. Like the crowds listening to Jesus, we seek direction. We want God to come and put things right. John points to Jesus, who always shocks us, not least by telling us that we have to put things right ourselves and use his strength to do so. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, whose coming was proclaimed by John the Baptist, help us to turn away from sin and follow you, that we may bring comfort to your people, now and always. Amen.